Now, over the past weeks, I'll just reiterate what I said earlier today. At the beginning of the year, we wrote on a post-it, and if you've not done that, you can do that. When the service closes today, you can do that. What you've done is you've actually decreed or you've declared, okay, what you're believing for God to do through you, not for you, right? But through you in 2022. Because God has, like I just said, a reason and a purpose for everything. Okay? So we wrote that and we're decreeing it to 2022. Whatever we've written on that post-it, we're decreeing that it will be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We will see the purposes of God revealed through us as God uses us to bless others. Because that's always His intent. On the night we spoke about pride, the cancer of the soul. And before God can use anybody at all, and please don't be deceived by this, you need to humble yourself. And where humility is not present, forget it, just forget it. You'll be going through religious motions and you'll be kidding yourself and nothing will happen, everything remains the same. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us strongly is that your agenda, your will, is quite different sometimes from God's will. And we've gone through life wanting to do our own thing. Wanting to do it, and we've seen, some of us have seen that it doesn't work. We've made poor decisions, and we've had to reverse some of those decisions that have been made. We know what we're talking about. And God is saying here, if you want me to use you, if you're going to be used by me and establish things in my kingdom, it cannot be done without humility. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, had to humble himself. And the Bible says became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. It was God's will for His Son, Jesus Christ, to die. And Jesus humbled Himself and did the Father's will. And where that doesn't happen, the chief thing that stopped that from happening is pride. And we looked at pride and we looked at all of those things. And we see that it's a cancer. Something that happens on the inside, but not yet revealed on the outside. But through time, it becomes obvious that you have cancer. On the 16th of January, last week we spoke about the power and purpose of decrees. And we're going to be doing a lot of that. Hopefully you've started. I've given you tools last week. I've given you sheets of paper last week. And I've given you an example of a decree. And hopefully you're doing that even before I preach this message. Because you've got the power and the authority and the permit, the license from God to do that. And that's what we ought to be doing. And if we want God's will to be done, then we've got to operate in the area of decrees. But that operates from the standpoint of knowing who we are. If you don't know that you're a Christian with power, then you're not going to come from that premise. You're going to come from a different premise, and that premise is going to be weak because you need to come from the standpoint of who you are. Even Jesus, when He was on this earth, He functioned on the premise of who He is. He knew who He was, so therefore, no devil could tempt Him. No devil could tempt Him at all. And you realize that even in the temptation of Jesus, the first point of attack was His identity. If you are the Son of God. And the enemy is still the same. There's no new tricks with him. He's still the same. If you are a Christian, then how come this is happening? If you're a Christian, how come that's happening? If you're a Christian, how come you behave like that? How come you're talking like that? No. So what the Bible tells us what to do? Pull down those things that exalt yourself against the knowledge of God. Yes, sometimes we do things that are wrong. Yes, sometimes we say things that are wrong. Yes, sometimes we don't do things that we should do, that the Word of God tells us to do. But we have the place of repentance. Can somebody say amen? And that's the good news. We have a place where we can come to God and say, Father, forgive me. And sometimes even before we say that, guess what? He's forgiven us. So we have that premise. And we can come from that premise. So don't let the enemy come and tell you otherwise. Don't let him dictate to you otherwise. Because you know, or you should know, who you are in Christ. And we've got to know that. Today we're going to hear about, I'm going to remind you, it's not a full-fledged teaching because I've taught on the heart before, coming from a slightly different thing here, but it's not even a lot of slides today, so I should be finished before 12:30 today. You know, how's your heart? It's a question. But once again, we just don't want to rush. Oh, I've heard that before. I've heard that one about my heart. I know my heart. It's no, hang on a minute. You've got to steal yourself, man. You've got to steal yourself. We're in the period now of January, and we said that for the whole month of January, we are stilling ourselves. Not much activity, if any at all. Our ministries are not up and running. The food service is not up and running. We're not, you know, we're just stilling ourselves before God because we don't want to rush into this year doing the same thing, behaving the same way that we behaved last year. So this year, we're going to show up in the house of God. Can I get an amen? We're going to show up in prayer. Amen. We're going to show up in service to God. Amen. And our whole mindset and our attitude is going to be different. And we're going to believe God for what He wants to do through us. Yeah. But before any of that could happen, we've got to check our hearts as well. And that's part of the process of everything. So, the question is then, how's your heart? And only you can answer that. When we have a heart problem, we've got to find out how our heart is doing. I remember doing this years ago. We go to our doctor, and if the doctor can't do it, he sends you to a heart specialist at the hospital. So the doctor will book an appointment, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor will do tests to find out how your heart is doing. What the doctor will do is he will do what they call an electrocardiogram, an ECG. And the ECG measures the signals that are going to the heart to make sure that the signals from the body that's going to the heart is correct and at the right frequency and at the right momentum. Everything is right to make sure that your heart is functioning. It measures, if you like, the rhythm of your heart. Did you know your heart is a rhythm? Of course you did. Because your heart beats. It beats with a rhythm. And the electrocardiogram measures the rhythm of your heart. To see if it's at the right thing. To see if it's what it's doing, what it should do. So that if it's not, the doctors can diagnose and do something about it to correct it. The sensors are placed upon your body. They're placed on your chest. And sometimes even on your arm. Your upper arm. And sometimes maybe a little lower than your chest as well, on your abdomen. But what the doctor does, he places these sensors on your body so that it can pick up the signals all around your heart to make sure that, again, the right rhythm is there, to make sure that the signals are strong enough, to make sure that everything is right and beating and operating correctly. We have a duty and a responsibility to find out how's our heart doing. How is it really? Don't just assume things. Because we live in a world where things can easily be picked up and even placed in our hearts, written there sometimes by our tongues without us even realizing. That's why Paul said, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith. Because sometimes when we stop, like we're doing now in this January period, and we say, you know what? My words ain't right. And oh my gosh, maybe that's why I've written this, and maybe this is why that's happening. And maybe you find sometimes there are areas in our lives that need adjusting, and we all do that. We all find that. So we go to God. That's what we do. We go to God and we say, Lord, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my? Isn't it thoughts? You said heart. Now you're getting me to doubt myself. Search me, O God, and know my heart or thoughts. You know what? Guess what? Doesn't really matter. Because guess what? The two means the same thing. I'm going to show you that. Alright? Know my thoughts today. Search me and try me. Alright? Test me, in other words. To see whether or not I'm beating correctly. To see whether or not the signals that I'm sending out to the world are the right signals. To see if I'm functioning right. Now, so we go to our doctor, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the doctor of all doctors, who knows everything about you. Why? Because he's your manufacturer. He knows you. Nobody knows about the product more than the manufacturer. And when we go to him, you know what he does or what he says? He says, right, now I'm going to do an ECG on you. I'm going to do an ECG. And that ECG is the Word of God. So the Word of God is senses now, which that's why it's so important that we have the Word of God, we know the Word, we read the Word prayerfully, and it's so important that we don't become, like Paul said, ignorant of the things that God has in His Word for us to know, for us to do. We don't become ignorant of it. So we do an ECG using the Word of God. When we place the Word of God, we read the Word of God. It measures us, it tests us. Then we can see whether or not we are on the right track. We can see whether or not we're functioning right. We can see whether or not there's anything in our hearts that should not be there. Are you with me? A spiritual ECG is so, so necessary. And a Christian that doesn't do that is a careless Christian. A Christian that doesn't do that is a person who is just operating on assumption. You cannot assume that everything is okay. You've got to go to the Word of God. You've got to. And the Word of God is so strong on that. And we know this because we've been teaching it here for the past years. So we've got to do that. So let's have a look then at the heart. Let's bring a little bit of clarity in regards to the heart. So what is the heart? Well, the heart can be described as the core of our being, the center of our understanding. It is like a huge safe which is capable of storing away all sorts of things away from the eyes of everyone except God. You can't hide anything from God. God sees and knows everything. He sees and knows everything. So you might as well be honest with Him when you come to Him. And when the Holy Spirit is showing us stuff, we might as well humble ourselves and say, Lord, I receive that. I didn't know that was there, Lord, but I receive it. And I'm willing to change. Now, these screens that I'm going to flash up before, you've seen so many times, but I'm going to talk about one or two of these different things. Now, our heart, that is so, so important, can be in several different states. With our hearts, the Bible says, and the scripture references for each one, I'm not going to quote them now. But we can serve God. We can love God. It can be circumcised. It can be of an understanding disposition. Our hearts can also be tried. It can be lifted up. And when it's lifted up, it's lifted up with pride. It can be sorrowful. Our hearts can be soft. Or it can be hard. That's not there yet. It can be fearful. With our hearts, we can trust God. Or we can put our trust in man. Decision is always ours. With our hearts, we can be deep in our hearts. Our hearts cannot be right. We can hide things, good or bad, in our heart. Our hearts can be sound. It can be known. It is known by God. God knows everything and sees everything there, folks. It can be kept with diligence. It can be bitter. And I've always said, choose to be bitter, not bitter. And that's one of the areas sometimes in my life, looking back, I was praying about this and reflecting myself. Like I said this before, that pastors hardly prepare messages like this and preach it without first, you know, being washed by the word that we're going to preach. And so I've done a lot of self-examination over the years, of course, because I've been a Christian for 40 odd years. And there are times when my heart has become bitter because of people and because of disappointments and because of what people have said or what people have done, and the accusations sometimes that's placed upon you. And I've had to admit that that's there, and I've had to confront that that's there, and I've had to use God's word and the presence of the Holy Spirit to deal with that issue so that I don't continue in that state. Because how many people know that you're responsible for your heart? You are. So when truth is preached, you've got a responsibility to either listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you or not. A heart can be soft. It can think. Did you know your heart can think? Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You become what you think. Everything starts in this world that you're looking at. The things you're looking at started with a thought. Before that door was made, somebody had a thought. Can design a door, or we could put a door there. And this is how the door came. Look, everything started with a thought. The chairs that you're sitting on started with a thought. Its design, its color, its structure, its make. Everything starts with a thought. But your heart can also be heavy. You can be heavy because of, in a rightful kind of way, and also a wrongful kind of way. Your heart can become heavy sometimes when you hear about abortion, when you hear about Bibles not being sold in schools. You can have a heavy heart, and you know, because of these things. So it's not always because of bad things or bad things that makes our heart heavy. Sometimes it's bad news that can make our hearts heavy. Okay, your heart can discern. Thank God it can be revived. It can be joyful. But your heart can also be deceitful. Be careful with that. Because you can think that you're right when actually you're not right. And one thing I've learned through the years, I've been on this planet over 60 years, right, is that the majority isn't always right. And that's something to watch out for, because sometimes we go along with other people without realizing what we're doing, and then we find out when it's too late that actually that's wrong. So be very careful with that. With our hearts we can know God, we can make pledges. With our hearts we can be prideful. Our hearts can be stony. You see that in the parable of the sower, as well as Ezekiel 11:19. Our hearts can be turned. It can be pure. We can have evil thoughts. With our hearts we can forgive. With our hearts we can reason. Our hearts can also be hard. It can store things. Oh my God. Store all sorts of things. And sometimes we can store things in our heart that ought not to be there. And again, it's a reason why we still ourselves and we examine ourselves. And we ask the Lord to search us and to help us. So that if there are things there that should not be there, it can be removed. Our hearts can burn within us. Our hearts can be troubled. John 14:27. Jesus was speaking there and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." The Greek word there is tarasso, which means agitated or stirred up. Bad news all around you. Don't let that cause your heart to be agitated or stirred up. Let your peace, let your mind stay on Christ Jesus. Here, they were talking about that last week. Let your mind stay on Christ, and that's the way you have perfect. Perfect what? Peace. Perfect peace. So we're going to keep our minds on Christ, even though we're going through troubled times. You're going to hold on to your hope, even when it seems like there is no hope. Hope is expected end. So despite the fact that I'm going through stuff and stuff seems like it's hanging on, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, doesn't look like it's going to change, God's word says God is for me, and if God is for me, who can be against me? And God has a good plan for me. This is what his word says. So now I'm going to choose to store up, good things in my heart so that I'm not going to make it be agitated. Bad stuff will happen, but my heart is going to have perfect peace as far as I'm concerned. Our hearts can allow Christ to dwell there or not. Your hearts can make melody. The list really goes on, church. I've only stopped at 40 here. Alright, and I've got 41 coming up. So, how is your heart? I've just given you 40 different things. How is your heart today, folks? I mean, what's stopping you? If there's anything at all, what's really stopping you? Be careful that you're not letting your agenda, your aims, your objectives, your busyness, your ambitions come before you and God. God wants to use you. God wants to change things. But we've got to be careful that there's, I keep saying, you know what I'm going to say now. Balance is the key to successful living. And if there's no balance, then there's imbalance. And if you have imbalance, then something's wrong. And so we've got to get the balance right. And the Holy Ghost is there to help us. His word is there to help us. And believe it or not, angels are around us to help us as well. So God wants us to have sincerity of heart as pertaining to the things of Christ, i.e. doing the will of God from the heart. So, if you're going to do the will of God, it's going to be from the heart and it's going to be of sincerity of heart. So you're not going through the motions just to go through the motions. No, you're going to have sincerity with that. I teach and I preach with passion inside this church and outside this church. With passion and unapologetically, I give the unadulterated word of God no matter where God sends me. No matter where. Even if it's funerals or even weddings. I've got a wedding coming up this year that I'm going to do. Then I'm going to come down. I'm going to actually marry somebody. You know, I'm going to go through that. And, you know, when I speak, because I'm giving the word there as well, I will speak like I've always done, giving God's word and giving God's counsel just the way that He would expect me to do it. So, the question then really is, how's your heart? And from here, what road are you going to take? Well, Pastor David, what do you mean what road? Well, is it going to be the right road or the wrong road? There's no middle ground. Is it either going to be for God or is it going to be for me? It's either going to be my way or it's going to be God's way. I know which road I'm taking. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. You're taking the road that leads to God. Isn't that right? Come on, church. We decided that we're going to do things God's way. Amen? You know what that means? I showed you this scripture some time ago, some weeks ago. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him first deny himself. That means to say, well, your ambitions, your rights, your thoughts, you could have denied that. What you want, what you say. Jesus said, you could have denied. Then after denying it, something else, you're going to take up your cross. In other words, if there's stuff that is going to come at me because I'm choosing the right road, because I'm choosing to go God's way. It's not going to be smooth. It's going to be rough. People sometimes don't like hearing that. But I have to remind them that that's when disappointment comes, you see. Disappointment comes not because of what you find, but what you expected to find or what you didn't expect to find. And so here you are, going down a particular road. You don't want to hear anything, you don't want anything. And suddenly, bam, something happens. Disappointment sets in, and you're upset because you didn't expect to find that. But church, I'm telling you now, that when you choose to do things God's way, enemy is going to rise up against you. People that you don't know are going to find something. The devil will use whatever he can to throw you off track. Can I get an amen? That's what's going to happen. But the good news is that you know that. Because John 16:33, Jesus was speaking, and Jesus said, in this world, come on, somebody say, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. In this world, you will have it. So there we go. Jesus again, giving the truth, letting people know, aware of that, they will have tribulation. Philipsis is a Greek word. It means struggle, trials, pressure, testing. You will have that. In this world, you then end up Christ, you're going to have that. There's going to be stuff and people and devils that will get at you because you've chosen to do things God's way. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went on and said, be of good cheer. What was he saying? He said, keep your hearts in a merry disposition. In a merry disposition. Thank you. Keep your heart in a merry disposition. Bad things are happening, but keep your heart joyful. In other words, don't let the devil or people or circumstances rob you of your praise to God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a loud amen?
Amen?
Don't let that happen. And so you can say, all right, let me move on. So, it's some scriptures. Let me show you some scriptures, okay? Every day we have to make choices. We have to make, I'm going to do things God's way, or I'm going to do things my way. I'm not going to let busyness, or I'm not going to let other things take priority. I'm not going to let anything stop me or rob me of my prayer time or my word time, because I need to realize this theory. I'm going to study God's word like never before, and I'm going to have more word intake because I want to be filled with God's word to be used by God. And the more word I have, the more impurity washes out, and the more I'm cleansed, the more God can use me. Alright, so let's have a look at God's word and see what he has to say. There is a way, Proverbs 16 verse 5, that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's why it's good to take counsel. That's why it's good to seek counselors and to seek counsel. You're going to make a decision? Seek counsel and seek advice before you make that decision, because that's the way you prevent yourself making mistakes. But you're going to humble yourself, and you're going to really got to be at a place where, you know, you're ready to receive. You know, just again, going through the motions. So don't come and announce. Come and seek counsel. Because you could be on a road that, or going down a road, or about to go down a road that seems right, but wise counsel will redirect you until it actually does not the way to go. Psalm 25 verse 9, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. You want to know God's way? You're going to humble yourself. You're going to humble yourself. You want to be taught by God? You've got to humble yourself. Yeah, I'm going to be taught by God. Look, we're handling it. You've got to humble yourself. The humble, he guides injustice. And the humble, he teaches his way. Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, the psalmist said, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. You name the kingdom of Christ, you're going to have enemies. Enemies are going to come at you. They're going to want to stop you. They're going to want to defeat you. They're going to want to persuade you that you can't when God says you can. Psalm 101 verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? The psalmist says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And by the way, the word way there is a Greek word, is a Hebrew word, derek. Derek. Spelled D-H-E-R-E-K-H. Derek. And it's really talking about a mold, a course, a manner, or a way of life. So he's saying here, I will behave wisely in a manner, in a course, in a mode, in a way of life that pleases God. Then he asks the question, oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Perfect heart. Heart there on the light. Okay. Jesus and religious people. Let's look at Matthew 15 verse 8 for a few moments, okay? Matthew 15 verse 8, Jesus said something very fundamental. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But he said something very, very profound, but their hearts is far away from me. The word heart there, write this down if you're taking notes. The word heart there is the Greek word cardia, spelled K-A-R-D-I-A. And that's where we get the English word, or the word that we use cardiac from. And cardiac refers to our heart. Okay, our physical heart. So Jesus is saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and only with their lips, but guess what? Their heart, their innermost being, is far away from me. Now, the word, let me say something else on this. The word cardiac is used as a metonym for the mind. And it's used in the Bible quite a lot, in the New Testament quite a lot, as a metonym for the mind. So in places in the scripture, when the Bible is talking about your heart, it's talking actually about your mind. The Bible attributes, listen to this carefully, I've got some notes here. The Bible attributes thoughts, reasonings, understanding, will, judgments, designs, affection, love, hatred, fear, sorrow, joy, all of these attributes are connected to your physical heart. To your physical heart. And can affect its functioning. Your physical heart's function. And of course, spiritually, that means your mind. And all these things also affect your mind and how you function. Remember we said Proverbs 23 verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so you become. Whatever you think, that's what will happen. Okay? So we've got to pay attention once again to what's happening in our heart. What's happening to the innermost part of our being? What's happening to in our minds? What are we thinking? What are we allowing to come into our mind, either through our ear gate, our eye gate, or even through our mouth, which is the three gateways as well, to the spirit, to your spirit, your ears, your eyes, your mouth. So we've got to pay attention to these things. So what should I do? What should I do? If I'm examining myself and I'm finding that, oh my gosh, you know what, sometimes I'm finding myself physically not well, physically, or find myself in fear. Just name one of those attributes a while ago, and I'm finding myself fearful. fearful for this or fearful for that or fearful for the slightest of things, then what should I do? Well, you've got to confront it, and you've got to make sure that, well, Proverbs 4 verse 23, let me show you that verse. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart, right? Let me say this first. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, this is taken from the Old Testament, so it's a Hebrew word, all right? And even in the Greek, there are different words that mean different things, and that's why we have to look up these words, because in places when the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about your spirit. In places, other places, we talk about your heart, it's talking about your mind. All right. In the New Testament, there is a word where diligence means, and I've taught on this over the years, steady, constant effort. But the word diligence here, used in the Old Testament, is a different word. It's a Hebrew word, and the word is mishmar, M-I-S-H-M-A-R. And it means to guard, it means to watch. The idea is someone standing at a prison door and keeping guard of that prison door to make sure that the prisoners don't escape. That's the idea that comes with that word, diligence. So the Bible is saying, keep your heart with all diligence. So it's saying, keep watch over your heart to make sure that nothing comes in that shouldn't come in. Alright? For out of it springs the issues of life. Out of your heart springs the issues of life. So, if the issues of life come from my heart, then it is important that I be careful what goes into my heart. And that's why the Bible here says, stand, watch, guard your heart. Does everybody understand what I just said? I hope so. Oh, here's a verse that I quoted twice already. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's why we got to do that. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Let me show you something that I've mentioned this already, and we've seen it in one of our Bible studies some years ago. The human heart possesses a heart brain. And this heart brain is composed of 40,000 neurons that can sense, feel, learn, and remember. The heart sends, listen to this church, the heart sends more signals to the brain. Your physical heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain does to the heart. Isn't that something? Because you think that your brain is a control center. Guess what it is? But you see, you think that, well, neurons, more neurons will go from your brain to your heart than from your heart to your brain. But no. Scientists say that the heart sends more signals. Right? More signals. Your heart sends more signals to your brain than your brain does to your heart. They call that the heart brain, or the little brain, or intrinsic cardiac nervous system is another way of calling all of that. And we hear expressions like follow your heart, you know, or get to the heart of the matter. And some of these expressions, that's where they're coming from. Your heart is very, very important. Talk about your physical heart. We know it's important. But it's more important just for, it's more than just for living. If your heart stops beating, you're dead. But it's more than that. Your heart does more than that. It's picking up and it's sending these signals. Your heart is sending these signals. You know, that's why another expression, you can have a heavy heart. And I think we saw that in one of the 41 conditions that your heart can be in. We saw that your heart can be heavy. And so, we've got to make sure that whatever is there is right. And the only way to do that is to examine yourself, repent where God is telling you to repent, change your behavior, change your thinking, change your attitude. And again, that's why the Bible has a lot to say about your thinking. And, a follow through with what God says that we should do. And keep it, watch it, guard over your heart. Okay? And that's what we're talking about when we say in the book of Proverbs, you know, have a diligent heart. So let's talk about the three B's. The three B's are the three different things that we're going to do or we must do to bring correction, and then I'm finished. I say a few things and I'm finished. Three B's in conclusion. Okay, number one, be honest. Come on, everybody say, be honest. That's your premise, you know, because if you hear something and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, but you're not being honest, you're just neglecting it. Or if you hear the truth and you just say neglecting it, well, you know what? I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. Then you're not being honest with God. Or maybe you are, but you're being honest in the wrong way. You're being honest to God by saying, Lord, I'm going to be disobedient to you. You may not use those words, but that's exactly what will be happening. So we've got to be honest. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way, in the way of everlasting. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why sometimes you can tell what's inside individuals by just listening to their words. Just listening to the conversation. Listening to what they're saying. And you can see what's inside. You don't need to tell me that you're depressed or that you're negative or that you're bitter. Because guess what? Your words just gave you away. Listen to their conversation. Anyway, be honest. That's the point. Because God already sees and knows anyway. You're coming to God, He sees and He knows everything. He knows what's there. He knows what anxieties you have. He knows that it's there. So you say, Lord, I have anxieties about this. Then you're, whatever this is. You know, that's a starting point. God says, now I can use you. Now I can do something because you're being honest with me. Alright, number two. Every week I do that. Number two, be humble. Come on, everybody say, be humble. Philippians 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility there, let each esteem others better than themselves. So we should be looking around on each other and esteeming them better than ourselves. You should be looking around and, how's my brother, how's my sister today, you know? That's why I love sometimes when we greet, like we did just a while ago, we greet one another, you know, just few little moments for just to catch up with one another, and it always brings a smile. It always brings a smile, and so it should. And that smile sometimes, folks, that one little smile can reach and do a lot more sometimes than you think. Sometimes we can say just a few words, but sometimes a few words can reach far in and help an individual more than you realize. To you, it's just, hello, how are you? Oh, good to see you. But to that individual, maybe that's just what they needed, you know? Romans 12:16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Again, because your opinion could be wrong. Number three. So number one was what? Be honest. And number two, it's on the screen, be humble. Number three, be honorable. What did I say they were? The three what? And nobody picked me up. I just picked myself up. I just realized, it's three H's, not three B's. But you can... I know, B is B that, so, yeah, so I'm right anyway. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you see, this could have been laughing. It's good that, you know, sometimes I laugh at myself. I was laughing this morning at the error I saw one of the kids at the screens. Instead of the word old, it was double L. And I know others saw it as well. I saw the smile, and it brought a smile to my face. But these things do happen. Be honorable, three H's. Be honorable. Romans 12:10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Be brotherly love. Sorry, I'm still thinking about the three B's. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Be with brotherly love. in honor giving preference to one another. Again, it's a person in a state of humility that's doing that. So we've got to be honest, we've got to be humble, and now we've got to be honorable. And when you're honorable to your brothers and your sisters, you're kindly affectionate to them. Okay? Alright, giving preference to them. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? Before honor is humility. Wow. Now, when we humble ourselves before, let me just chuck it out there, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. We live in a world where if we're not careful, one person just makes a decision because the other person's made that decision. But yet the decision that person's made is not the right one. And if you're not careful, if you don't stop, if you don't humble yourself, if you don't check your heart, if you don't have humility, if you don't examine yourself to see whether pride is there, you can find yourself down a road where actually you're making pure mistakes, you're making pure errors, and you don't know until the time is too late. Years ago, I taught on this. I was teaching about the 12 something of the enemy. Oh gosh, even that's gone from my head right now. And I was talking about, I think it was procrastination. When I mentioned digital bodies here, these are what you call processionary caterpillars. Processionary caterpillars. Now, processionary caterpillars can actually be dangerous and harmful to humans. But processionary caterpillars don't think for themselves. They don't follow any other guide except the one at the front. And so you see how close they are to one another? And that's what they do. They just follow. And they go around in circles. A test was done. When I taught this some years ago, a test was done where processionary caterpillars were placed around food and water. And because the first caterpillar and all the other caterpillars was just following the other caterpillar, you know what they did? They marched around for days. They marched around the food and around the water for days. And you know what happened? They eventually thirst and starve themselves to death. Right there in the vicinity of the answer that they need, food and drink, food and water. They had it, but they didn't see it because that one's head was not where it should be. And the other one behind it, his head, was not where it should be. And so they just followed one another, the whole lot of them died. And processionary caterpillars are known to do that. They just follow whatever the first one is doing. No matter what he's doing, they're doing. No matter where they're going, they're going. And they march around until they die. And church, I don't know. I put that there because I just thought in my heart, right, that just a warning, don't be like a processionary caterpillar. Because we see that time and time again where people just do things because that one's doing it. No. Do things because God is guiding you. Amen? Do things because God is leading you. Don't do things just because that looked good, it sounded good, it smelled good. You know, remember that? There is a road that seems right unto man, but the path they were for the path of death. So be careful that you're not marching along that path. So, the question is then, what are you going to do? And this is the last slide. You've got a choice to make. You're either going to do it. There's no middle ground. You're fed with offense, you're going to get hurt. You're going to do it my way, then you're going to see the same old, same old. You do it God's way, then I'm telling you, breakthrough is due. And you will have it in Jesus' name. Has God ever let down people? No. Sometimes people, you know, and we've come across them in our lives, blame God more than once, where people blame God. And people don't go to church or go back to church now because God let them down in their eyes. God didn't do what they wanted him to do or what he expected them to do. And a lot of people point the finger on God, shamefully, and blame God for a lot of things. And the enemy will just stand up by there laughing. But our God is a good God. I said, our God is a good God. Alright, okay. He's a good God. He's got a good plan for the church. He's got a good plan for you, man. And if God says, the plan that I have for you is a good plan, it's a plan to see you prosper, then church, the only question we should be asking ourselves is, what is preventing me from then prospering? If God says, I've got a plan for you and a plan for you to be healed, the only question is, what is preventing me from receiving that? And again, sorry for keep on repeating myself, that's why we're steadying ourselves in this month of January. And we're stealing ourselves. That's how we're fasting, church. Bible tells us quite clearly that some things won't go. The disciples couldn't cast out the demon out of somebody to let that person be healed. They couldn't do it. And Jesus told them why. And part of the problem was, he said, nevertheless, this time doesn't go out except for fasting and prayer. So there are things that we need to fast and pray about to be removed from our lives. And God can remove it anyway. But you know, when we fast and pray, guess what? It goes faster. It goes quicker. Because God looks past the action, looks at the heart, sees our sincerity here, and sees that we mean business with God. They're not just talking it, they mean business with me. Look at them. They're fasting. And I'm going to honor them because they're separating themselves away from the desires of the flesh, the body, to focus on me. And God said, it's exactly what I want. Now I can endow them. Now I can speak. Now I can move. Now I can pour out and pour in so that they can pour out into others' lives. And that's what we all want. I decree in Jesus' name that breakthroughs are coming for you this year in Jesus' name. I declare it in the name of the Lord. I decree that mountains will be moved in the name of Jesus. I also decree that no weapon formed or fashioned against you will prosper. And every tongue, church, that rises against you, you condemn it. You have the authority, the power, the license, the permit from God to pull it down and to bring it to nothing in Jesus' name. Can we stand on our feet? As we will stand on our feet, I want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes right where we are. Right where we are. And can we, I'm going to ask you to do something, church. I'm going to ask you to, you know, sometimes, you know, I say to the Lord, Lord, sometimes I'm going to make you come forward, but I'm just going to go with the flow of things. And that's what I'm doing now. You might not, I don't know. Can you stand with your hands, your palms of your hands facing upward like this? If you're ready to receive from God, let me just put it that way. And meaning, don't just do it because I'm saying it. Or maybe in your life, you see that you want something in your life, you want change. I don't know what that change is. But I'm telling you right now that God has already prepared that change. What He's looking for is your cooperation. What He's looking for you to do is not look to the right or to the left, but to lift up your eyes continuously. And if you've not started to begin to stand up, lift it up unto Him, because He is your source. God is your source, not man. Father, I just lift up every single one of us, myself included, before you, Lord. And Father, we pray this, Lord God, that, oh God, your will be done in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. Search us, oh God, we pray. Even our Holy Spirit, if you've not already done so, show us, oh God, Lord God, the things that we need to change, Lord, to be on track with what you have done and not on track with what we want. But Lord God, we submit our will now to your will, Lord. And we say, Father, use us, Lord God. Cleanse us first. Wash us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Forgive us for our iniquity and also our transgressions, Lord. Wash us by your precious blood and we shall be whiter than snow. And Father, we pray that this will be a period, a time, oh God, where you fill us with your power, you fill us with your spirit like never before. That when we come to the house of God, we will be enthusiastic. We will come with a joy in our step, with a pep in our step. We will come, Father, expecting great things of you, because you have done great things, Lord. As we go through this year, Father, we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your will and your purposes will be done. Lord, we lift you up today and we declare and decree now that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we decree that nothing or no weapon formed against us will prosper. We declare, Lord God, that there is no mountain that is too tall for you, O God, to deal with, Lord. And Lord, we will not climb mountains, but we will speak to our mountains, Lord. And we will tell them in the name of Jesus Christ to be removed in the name of the Lord and to be cast out of our sight, out of our path, out of the designated path that you have created for us, Lord. And oh God, we will walk as men and women, boys and girls, tall in the spirit, with the stature of Jesus Christ. And we will do, Father, that which you have commanded us to do. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for the miracles that we will see, for the chains that will be broken, for burdens that will be lifted. Father, we give you thanks and praise for yokes, those things, oh God, designed to kill us and weight us down. Those yokes will be destroyed in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, every stumbling block, every trap that is set by the enemy, it is revealed in the name of the Lord. And Father, we thank you because of the steps of a righteous man, your word says, a righteous woman, are ordered by the Lord. And so, Father, order our steps, Lord, as we leave this place today. Order our steps, Father, in Jesus' name. As we make decisions for your kingdom, order our steps, Lord. As we seek to do more for you this year, order our steps, Lord. Guide us, protect us, keep us in the way, Father. And I pray that there will be a spirit of boldness that will come upon us, Lord, and that we will stand as an oracle of God, speak as an oracle of God, and demonstrate your kingdom like never before. Thank you, Father, for loving us, Lord. We pull down now every thought that comes or exalts itself against your word. We pull down everything, oh God, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything, oh God, that says that we can't when you have said we can. We pull it down in Jesus' name. And we decree that the Lord's will be done this morning. We decree that the Lord's will be done this week, this month, this year, in our lives and beyond if you should tarry. Lord, your will be done. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Thank you for healings. Thank you for deliverances, Lord. Lord, we give you praise for the stirring that's happening even now in our hearts as you cleanse us, Lord. Sometimes as you pull away that thing, oh God, there may be pain, there may be tears, but Lord God, you bring healing and you bring comfort and you bring, oh God, everything that is needed, Father, that is rightful in our lives for us to be who we want to be. No more distractions, no more looking to the right or to the left, but we look to you, Lord, and we thank you now for what you are doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing it. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all the praise and adoration and glory. Thank you, Father. You know, Lord God, what's in our hearts. You know what's there, Lord. And Father, thank you for taking it away and for, oh God, for replacing it, oh God, with the things of God. We give you all the glory today. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Can we put our hands together and bless the Lord? Now, can we really bless the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. God's way in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say with me, God's way. Our heart being the church, God's way. And God's will be done in our lives and in this church in Jesus' name. You are victorious. You are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name. You have it. You've got it. You've got it in your mouth. Use it. Use that authority. Declare it. Declare your future. Declare your well-being. Declare it over your family. Declare it in Jesus' name. Don't look at your kids and say, they're going to come to nothing. Oh, don't do that. You look at them and you prophesy. Even when it looks like it's wrong, you prophesy their health and their well-being and their future. Do it over your family in Jesus' name. Do it over your business in Jesus' name. Do it over your husband or your wife. But prophesy in Jesus' name that it is well. Somebody shout, it is well. Is that you shouting? Somebody shout, it is well. It is well. It's well with my soul, it's well with my family, it's well with my finances. Hallelujah. Do me a favor, take God's word in your body, hold it in your right hand. Always with an anointing coming. Is it? I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. Hold your body and your person in your right hand, right now, in Jesus' name. Oh, a little bit as well, Lord.